We try to accomplish our mission having the Word of God as our supreme standard. Sola Scriptura. Across the centuries, popes have also wanted to exercise the roles of priests, kings, and prophets in their own absolute way. May this book serve as an encouragement to be critical and self-critical in the way we seek to fulfill our priestly, kingly, and prophetic callings. 1. We have a Pope. Habemus Papum. The papal office through his titles and symbols. Gaudium Magnum, Habemus Papum. These famous words introduce a new Pope to the world. They are spoken to the throng that gathers in St. Peter's Square to celebrate the occasion. The Pope is one of the last examples of absolute sovereignty in the modern world, and embodies one of history's oldest institutions. The executive, legislative, and juridical powers are all concentrated in the papal office. Until the Pope dies or resigns, he remains the Pope with all his titles and privileges. The only restriction on his power is that he cannot choose his own successor. In other words, the papacy is not dynastic. This task belongs to the College of Electing Cardinals, that is, cardinals under 80 years old. They gather to elect a new pope in the conclave, from the Latin cum clave, that is, locked up with a key, located in the Sistine Chapel. If the pope cannot choose his own successor, he can, nonetheless, choose those who elect. A good starting point for investigating the significance of the papacy is the 1994 Catechism of the Catholic Church. It is the most recent and comprehensive account of the Roman Catholic faith. Referring to the office of the Pope, the Catechism notes in paragraph 882 that the Roman Pontiff, by reason of his office as Vicar of Christ and as pastor of the entire Church, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole Church, a power which he can always exercise unhindered. This brief sentence contains an apt summary of what the history and office of the papacy are all about. The Pope is a contemporary religious leader who boasts of direct and unbroken lineage to the Apostle Peter. The Pope, by means of succession, claims to continue the mission entrusted to Peter. Further reinforcing his power and authority, paragraph 937 of the Catechism states, "The Pope enjoys, by divine institution, supreme, full, immediate, and universal power in the care of souls." The papacy is presented as a divinely appointed institution that presides over the life of the Church and exercises its rule over God's flock. Many colourful tourist guides are available to visitors at the Vatican. They highlight all the interesting things that a normal tourist would like to know while walking around the centre of the Roman Catholic Church. But if you really want to know who's who in the Vatican, you should get hold of a thick tome, the Pontifical Yearbook. This massive volume of more than 2,350 pages contains all sorts of information about everything related to the Vatican and what happens there. Published and updated every year, it faithfully records all events and changes of the previous year. The Pontifical Yearbook is another useful resource for unpacking the theological and institutional significance of the papacy. One particular section lists the official titles of the Pope: Bishop of Rome, Vicar of Jesus Christ, Successor of the Prince of the Apostles, that is, Peter, Supreme Pontiff of the Universal Church, Primate of Italy, and Archbishop and Metropolitan of the Roman Province, Sovereign of the State of the Vatican City, Servant of God's Servants. This list of papal titles is astonishing and covers various religious offices, political tasks, and organizational responsibilities. Each title provides a different perspective on the papal office, and taken as a whole, they help one appreciate who the Pope is and what he does. Bishop of Rome. Another magisterial document that addresses the Pope as Bishop of Rome suggests the following: "The shepherd of the Lord's whole flock is the Bishop of the Church of Rome, where the blessed Apostle Peter, by sovereign disposition of..."